Welcome to Foresight Friday Roundup, Foresight Health's podcast series for healthcare revolutionaries. Outcomes matter, customers count, and value rules. Hello again, everyone. This is Dave Berta, news editor at Foresight Health. Today on Foresight Friday Roundup, we're going to be talking about retail pharmacies in terms of the new ways that they are serving their customers during the COVID-19 outbreak. And we're going to be talking about them from a scope of practice standpoint during the outbreak and beyond. As always, our resident experts on Foresight Friday Roundup to comment on these topics are Dave Johnson, founder and CEO of Foresight Health, and Gary Bisbee, co-founder and executive chairman of the Health Management Academy. Hello, Dave. Hello, Gary. How are both of you doing?
Hanging in there.
Morning.
Great. Before we talk about retail pharmacies, I was just wondering if either of you are listening to some old music or an old song that you haven't heard in a while but rediscovered since you've been sheltering in place because of the pandemic. Dave, what are you listening to that you haven't heard in a while?
Of course, I only listen to old music. I can't get out of the 70s. The one song, though, that is stuck in my head is Miss Hesitation by Jesse Colin Young. I mean, you just can't improve upon these lyrics, right? Hesitation stockings, hesitation shoes, hesitation women give me the hesitation blues, da-da-da, you know. So there you go.
Very good. Gary, you whistling any old tunes?
No, I'm not much of a whistler, and after Dave laid that out, I don't feel like I can contribute anything to this, so let's just move on.
Right. Exactly. One and done. All right, why don't we get started? Dave, in states that ordered residents to shelter in place and businesses to close, the states considered retail pharmacies to be essential services. They can stay open, and residents can leave their homes to go to the pharmacy. How have retail pharmacies responded to that challenge? What have you seen them do to continue to serve their customers during the COVID-19 outbreak?
Well, better living through chemistry, right? And pharmacies really are essential. People desperately need to get their drugs during lockdown. And in my way of looking at it, the pharmacies have been very innovative in meeting this need by expanding ways to get drugs to people, curbside pickups, drive-through, various types of delivery services. Online has exploded, click and pick, click and receive. CVS just noted that their online orders are up over 1,000% in the last quarter. Their app use is up 50%. And of course, this is America, so easier, faster, cheaper still matters. Discounts for prepayment, free shipping, complimentary shopping. You know, how would you like some toilet paper with your prescriptions? And all of that's driving more and more volume to the pharmacies. And some are even going further, combining delivery with helping customers with their in-home care, taking vital sign measurements, answering questions, doing mental health screens. You know, that's really connecting with customers. And, you know, and finally, and I imagine we're going to get into this in a big way, Medicare has approved pharmacies to become point of care testing sites for COVID-19. And that opens up a whole range of services that pharmacies could offer in the future. So giving customers what they want is the American way. And pharmacies are doing just that in this very strange time of COVID-19.
Great. Gary, same thing. What have you seen retail pharmacies do to serve their customers? And also, kind of what services do you see sticking around after the pandemic is over?
Well, as Dave said, giving customers what they want, pardon me, is the American way. It may not always have been the healthcare way or healthcare delivery way. And I think this COVID crisis is going to accelerate the importance of giving the customer what they want from the standpoint of our healthcare institutions. In terms of pharmacists taking a more of a higher level view, you know, we've said for years that pharmacists are a member of the primary care team, and those of us in healthcare probably believe that. I don't know that the consumer thought about it that way. And one of the things that the COVID crisis is going to do is cement in people's minds that the how important the pharmacist is in terms of not only the primary care team, but the care delivery team in general. And Dave listed the various ways that the pharmacists are responding to the needs of the consumer, whether it's drive-throughs or delivery services or information provided online. Clearly, testing is going to end up being, I think, an important part of bringing people into the pharmacy and locking in on this point that the pharmacist is a important member of the care team.
Got it. Dave, anything to add to Gary's comments before we move on?
Well, Gary, I love your point that serving customers hasn't always been the healthcare way. And the country, I think, is really pushing the healthcare system to do more and more of that. And it probably isn't hard to notice that the biggest pharmacies in the countries are in places like Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, even Amazon with PillPack. And I just believe that as pharmacy becomes more important, these types of very expert retail companies are going to push the industry further and further toward consumerism, which is good for everybody.
Great. Thank you. Why don't we move on to our second topic, and that's how the scope of practice is changing for pharmacists and retail pharmacies because of COVID-19. Gary, what are pharmacists doing now that they couldn't before, and what allowed that to happen?
Well, we're talking mostly about retail pharmacy. Let me make a quick point about pharmacists and hospitals before I get to the retail pharmacist point. And it used to be that the pharmacy in a hospital was located in a basement someplace. The pharmacist really weren't seen up on the floors or as part of the care delivery team. Now, of course, pharmacy is up where the consumer can get at it. It's the pharmacist is part of that care team we talked about before. And so that's just going to roll over to the retail side. And I think that we will see over time the pharmacists becoming broader, the scope of practice becoming broader. The crisis really accelerates trends that are already in place. And in this case, we have seen the pharmacist becoming more integral to the care team. That will just accelerate, would be my guess. And just as use of telemedicine has accelerated as part of this crisis, we're not going to put that genie back in the bottle. I don't think we will be putting the pharmacist genie back in the bottle either.
Got it. Dave, same thing. How has the scope of practice for pharmacists changed because of the pandemic? And then how will those changes stick around, or which of those changes will stick around after the pandemic is over?
Yeah, I think I'm going to let Gary's answer on the scope of practice change and use my time here to comment more about the role of pharmacists historically and how I hope that changes. Medicare has never recognized pharmacists as healthcare providers, and that I think contributes to the image that Gary was mentioning about the pharmacists in the basement and so on. So you've got these very highly trained individuals that are terribly underutilized. You know, other countries like Mexico, for example, the pharmacy really is the primary care site. And I think that will start to happen here too, which is why Medicare giving pharmacies point of care testing, I think, is a watershed moment. Just to give you a sense of how underutilized pharmacists are, there's a new company I like a lot called RX Live that works with insurance companies and provides consults by pharmacists to people regarding their drug use. And they've literally gotten thousands of pharmacists to apply to become part of this service. They do it on their own time, usually, nights and weekends, or if they work at night, during the day. And RX Live has their pick of these people. And it's just a waste. We've made this massive investment, and I think we really need to get more out of pharmacists. And I think that will happen. And then, you know, the other thing that we've had is a lot of independent pharmacies. And just like independent medical practices, they're suffering competitive pressures related to scale and so on. And I do feel we're going to get much more efficient at some of these basic functions like compounding and so on. Scale will matter. And that will allow the better companies really to step out and meet consumer needs, which again is part of this broader trend we seem to talk about every week, which is driving the healthcare system in ways that really are better, faster, cheaper, and really do solve customers' jobs to be done.
Got it. Gary, anything to add to Dave's comments?
Well, yeah, Dave makes a critical point about reimbursement or payment and the fact that Medicare hasn't historically recognized the role of a pharmacist. So maybe as a result of this crisis, we'll see Medicare and by extension Medicaid loosen up. But it's not hard to see over the next 5 years that the role of the pharmacist is going to substantially expand. If nothing else, consumers are going to push it that way because really the pharmacist is probably the easiest member of the care team to access. Don't need an appointment, just walk in.
Right. I think the common wisdom, it's the healthcare practitioner that most people see most regularly, right?
Right.
Most frequently, more than their own physicians. So, okay, great. Well, thank you, Gary, and thank you, Dave. Now let's talk briefly about next week. Gary, tell me what you think will be the big story in healthcare next week.
Well, in terms of the hospitals, what we're seeing is elective surgery beginning again, and some places have been doing this now for 2 or 3 weeks, others are just beginning. So how that works out is, I think, an important story. From what I can tell, consumers are starting to slowly ease back into willingness to go to a hospital or a surgery center. That's going to buffer the finances of the hospitals, and there's some sense the normality will return. Still a question about the surge or another surge in the fall. But the one thing I see is that health systems are saying we have a competency in treating COVID patients. We're not going to go back and just stop elective surgery. We're going to continue to treat COVID patients while we treat non-COVID patients. And so tracking that will be important, whether it's next week or over the next several months.
Got it. Dave, what's your prediction for the big story in healthcare next week?
I think Gary's point on elective surgery is a really good one. We started off talking about music, and you might remember that Annie War song from the 60s, "Where Have All the Flowers Gone?" I had a couple conversations this last week with senior health system people that were really are really trying to figure out where have all the patients gone, because they haven't been showing up at the hospital or the primary care offices or the ER. So I think we're going to start to see some real examination of what's happening on the demand side and trying to figure out how much of this shift in demand is just temporary because of the lockdown, and how much might be indicative of some more fundamental underlying pattern shift.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to watch. Well, that was great, gentlemen. Thank you. That's all we have time for today. As always, we appreciate your comments and your insights. If you'd like to learn more about the topics we discussed today, please visit our website at foresighthealth.com. Thanks again for listening. I'm Dave Berta for Foresight Health.